If you can say yes during a hard time, God will do the work and raise you up, and you'll be a mouthpiece. A lot of people say yes when they feel like saying yes. But that's not where the yes matters. The yes matters is when you don't know what's happening or what's going on, and it's dark, and you say, I'll follow you. And Jesus says, okay, I'll meet you. That's where faith is. And so as we continue in this series of Galatians, we believe that it was important for us to do this series because we were so just impacted by our series on Play Free a couple of years ago, but also God's doing something new with this idea of freedom in our church, but not only in our church, but I believe that God's doing it in the world. Where when Jesus said, I came to set the captives free, it wasn't something that he just said in jest, but he actually meant it. So if you're bound up by something, you've got to ask yourself, why am I bound by that thing? If Jesus came to set me free, why am I stuck where I should not be stuck? And I believe that the body of Christ at large is stuck because they are stuck rehashing old regrets. They're stuck in traditionalism, their own idealism about who God is or about what God should have did, but he didn't do. And they blame God for something in their life that they probably should have gave over to him a while ago. And if we were to open the floor in here, everyone could share their story about what disappointment that they've had, what failure, what weakness, how they felt like God should have came through, but he didn't. Everyone has a story, and everyone has an excuse as to why. But you have to make up in your mind that whatever happens in my life, that I'm going to follow Jesus, because there's coming a point, if you have not experienced it yet, where you're going to have to say yes to him or no to him. There's not going to be this in-between stuff anymore. This in-between stuff. COVID was more than just a pandemic. It was something supernatural. And we refer back to this because it's something that's happened recently. But there are different parts in history where you can look back and say that, well, God used that in order to turn something. And so when this happened a couple of years ago, it was a turning point for the world. It wasn't just for a community or a nation. It was for the world. And it was time for the Christian to say, I'm in or I'm out. Because if you have any sense of what the Spirit of God is doing, there's an urgency to get right with him. Right with him. Right. Not just maybe, but get right with him. Because playing games isn't going to cut it. And just doing halfway Jesus isn't going to cut it. Because Jesus is coming back quickly. And Galatians is a book that talks about freedom in Christ and staying free. Free. Not bound. Not conforming, but staying free. It is easy to conform because of pressure. It is hard to stay free. I'm going to say it again. It's easy to conform because of pressure. It is harder to stay free. Because people have a sense of what they think you should do, but the bottom line is, what is the Spirit of God telling you to do? The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. What are you being led by in your life? Last week, we talked about walking the walk, and the last point was walk, and we showed a visual of us being between two mountains. And walking and realizing and understanding that the possibility of failure was greater than success. And the only way from getting from one mountain to the next mountain was realizing that I've got to hold up under the pressure of what if, because the only one who can get me through this road is Jesus. Because there's clouds, there's my own fears. The enemy tries to throw up things in our life in order to get us to look backwards and look down. But we have to realize that every once in a while, Jesus will pop his head back in and say, I'm with you. Just take the step. The Christian walk is not about being easy. It's not about knowing where you're going all the time. You have to learn to walk in the dark. If you're looking for the light, it'll be there, but you have to learn to walk in the dark. So let's take a look at this verse in Galatians chapter 4. And it says this, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. In verse 3, and that's the way it is when with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world or the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom. Everybody say freedom. For us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You said you're no longer a slave, but you're a child of God. And how appropriate that this fell on Dedication Sunday. Because before you met Jesus, you were a slave to your own fear. You were a slave to your own nature. But when he came knocking on the door of your heart and said, follow me, and you said yes, he took you from that old dominion of darkness and placed you into his kingdom of light so that you can no longer have to be a slave to fear, but because now you're a child of God, you can cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy God, you're my dad. So you're not orphaned here today. So despite what you might think about yourself or what the enemy might tell you, you have never been abandoned. You are not orphaned. You belong here in the family of God. You belong. He didn't want perfection. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was perfect. You're not. So he came and saved you out of where you were and allowed you to become like Jesus, not Jesus, but like Jesus. Now you stand as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus with no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus has done. If you are a Christian and you call yourself a Christian, your life is now hidden with him. No longer have to be a slave. You can walk in freedom. Freedom is not free. He paid for it. So, but look at yourself. If I am supposed to be free, am I still bound by something that I shouldn't be bound by? One of the things that this church has done over the last 5 years is build a foundation on emotional health. Because there are so many things that people are tied into and trapped into from their past that they can't get out from under. And they can't receive the unconditional love of God because there are things that are rooted down in their life that have not fully come up yet. And until they allow God to go in and dig up the root, they'll always feel like there's this rub or distance between you and God. Ever felt that rub? There's a little bit of distance, like we're not quite where we need to be yet. And it's not on God's part. It's on our part. Because we have not recognized who Jesus is or not fully submitted under his lordship and allowed him to do the work. You will always feel that tension or that rub until you fully submit to the will of God. As long as you're trying to bend it and do it both ways, there'll always be that tension of, I don't have you fully, I only have you half. And you know what that looks like when it's halfway versus full way. You know how it is. You know when people are really engaged with you in conversation and when they're really not. You know halfway and full way. And so whatever it is that you're holding on to or that you're straddling, Jesus is asking you, if you just move off that and put your feet on the firm foundation, we'll get somewhere. But until you move toward me, there's always going to be tension. And the problem is that he never loses. So something's going to break, and it's not going to be him. If you've ever tried to wrestle with God, and there are times where God will wrestle with you over stuff, welcome to the Christian walk. If you're not struggling with something, you ain't living this thing. If you're not hitting, if you're not bumping up against some stuff in your mind, if you're not tearing down strongholds, if you're not telling the enemy off every once in a while, if there are not things happening in your life, you're not making progress. If you're just sitting up doing nothing, you're missing out. So God comes in, and there's a wrestling match that goes on. It calls sanctification in your life, where he tries to make us more like him. And you can't be in that process of sanctification and be halfway. It doesn't work. You got to be all in, and you got to be pushing with Jesus toward the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal in the reality is for you to become more like Christ, not more like you. Why would I want more of you? I want more of Jesus. And Jesus, the ultimate desire for us should be to become more like Jesus, because when we do that, we become less like the world. And we're free to do what God has called us to do, regardless of the consequences. We talk about Jesus a lot. We talk about the Chosen series, and everyone loves the Chosen series. But what you don't realize sometimes is you forget that most of them died gruesome deaths. They died saying yes to Jesus when they were sawed in two, when they were boiled, when they were crucified upside down. They died saying yes to Jesus. But in the American way or the Western culture, we say yes to Jesus as long as there's coffee at 9:30. Y'all got coffee there? Oh, I'll be there. Oh, you don't think that's for real? I'll serve. Well, listen, don't ask me to serve. Like, I need every third and fifth and ninth Sunday off. That's my day. For what? That's just my day. It can't be hard. You might as well not do it. There are people all over the world right now getting up under the threat of persecution of dying today because they have to do church in private or underground. And we have a chance to come to church and sing to Jesus and to be free. And it's hard for us even to do that because in our own mind, we're not quite sure if this is still real. Because there are so many things that are vying for our attention. We're trying to figure out. I understand. Great song. Sound mind for the spirit of fear. Great song. But is it real? Does it really matter what I do? Because in the end, if God's going to do what he said he's going to do, doesn't matter what I do. It matters what you do. You matter so much so that he said, I'm going to get off my throne to come down and save your butt. Even though you don't deserve to be saved, I'm going to come save you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And let's just be frank too. While you still sin, he died for you. It's still sufficient. The grace is still sufficient. It's saving grace. It's enduring grace. And it's also overcoming grace. There's three levels. I saved you. Now I'm going to give you the ability to endure in this process because eventually I'm going to help you overcome this. It's saving, it's enduring, and it's overcoming. It's grace that starts it. It's grace that keeps it going. And it's grace that finishes it. Don't sit up in here and say, well, I knew he was a Calvinist. I didn't say keep on sinning that grace may abound. I said grace that's sufficient to help us overcome. If you're not overcoming, you're abusing the grace of God. And no one likes to hear that because we use it as a license. It's like, you know, you got your license. I got my license. Here's this. And so as a Christian, oh, yeah, here's my grace license. I know, as you just show it to people by the way you live. As I'm a Christian. I'm cool, but I just saw your picture, Instagram, man. What's going on? Social media. I saw you there. I know, but, you know, God's grace is good. And what we do is we slap God in the face every time we abuse grace, and we cheapen it. And then we expect, well, why is your thing going the way that should be going in my life? You're abusing God's grace. You're compromising. And so you expect God to bless you. And until you get it right and use it for the purpose of overcoming grace, then you're always going to feel the tension of, I'm not where I need to be. You are not where you need to be. And you know when you're not where you need to be. It's very easy. And social media is wonderful for the purpose of working and marketing. But it is also a telltale story of people's lives. And people are dumb because they post their sin. Why are you going to post it for some person who knows what's up? Be like, man, I see what's going on. You're not living right. You're posted. You're half-dressed at a concert, man, drinking a wine. But you got like a Jesus bumper sticker on your Instagram post like, you got two thumbs up for Jesus. See you at church on Sunday. Dumb. Shut your social media down. Then go to the concert. Because then what people do is they look at you and say, you're not walking right, man. What are you doing? And then you get up on church on Sunday and you're leading worship. You are not in a bubble as a Christian. Everyone in this room, you're not in a bubble. You're in a clear glass. Everybody sees you. So the things that you used to get away with, you cannot get away with anymore. Be careful about that when you say yes to Jesus because it requires now more sacrifice and more of you. Oh, I can't do that no more. It might have been good for a season, but because you overcame that season, guess what? Jesus said, now I give you the grace for this one. You don't need it anymore. Now you're in this one. It requires more of you. It's saving grace, enduring grace, overcoming grace. It's not abusing grace. I don't do it because I know God will forgive me. I don't do it deliberately because I don't want to walk through the pain of the chastisement if I know better. If I were to go back and do some of the things I did 10 years ago, it'd be a travesty in my life. I couldn't do it because inside of me, it doesn't let me do it anymore. Why? I've overcame that season. I don't go back to it anymore. Now I'm in the next season. There are other things I have to overcome now. There are bigger devils I have to fight now. There are bigger things I have to wage war against now because now I'm a big boy. I have some muscles now. Now I have to do things that I wasn't able to do before, but I finally grew up and now I fit into my clothes now. And now I'm a mature child of God, walking in faith, taking ground, coming against the enemy. I'm too grown now to not understand what the armor does. It fits me. I have to stand. I have to wage war because the enemy is trying to take me off the perch that I'm on and would like nothing else to blow so I fall off the mountain and tell everybody else, see, it's not worth following Jesus. Everybody fails. You're coming against stigmas in the Christian walk that are real. That's why you can't tell people who you are all the time. Because immediately their head goes to stereotype. You talk about money all the time? You having an affair? How many people you actually got going to your church? You believe in this stuff? Oh, and then my favorite, when I was growing up in my church, so you got to walk the talk. And when you walk the talk, the Spirit of God can help break through some of those barriers because they see real. I'm not saying perfect, no one is, but real. Babies are fired up today. Why would Jesus come so that it wouldn't become real to you? It's a waste of sacrifice. It's a waste of sacrifice for him to have to die, raised back up from the dead, and the Bible says now ever live to make intercession for you. It's exhausting. If you didn't matter. Do you understand? He's going to great lengths because you do matter so much that I'm going to submit myself unto you, allow you to do what you have to do to me because God the Father says it's supposed to happen. But in the end, I'm going to raise myself back up. I'm going to present the blood before I go. I'm going to defeat the enemy. And then I'm going to sit. See what happens? You start prophesying over kids and all of a sudden they start taking it over, man. That's what happens. So, but you matter. So, why would God die so you fall short? Why would he want you to fall short of his perfect will for your life? He's never done anything halfway. Never. So why do we go up halfway with him and then expect, well, God's going to give me everything that he says he's going to give me because I'm halfway. God's asking for all of you. This is one of those relationships, and y'all have probably been in those relationships. We're not going to tell anybody here. This is not the time to tell, but just think in your mind. Where you know that someone's not given what they should be given, or you know that the relationship is one-sided. You're not going to get very far in that relationship because you're giving and giving and giving, but there's no reciprocation. And what people do with the grace of God is say, well, God's good. God doesn't need anything, but he requires you. I'm asking for you. You. I don't need anything, but I want you. And the only way this relationship works is that if we're all into it together. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about tapping the vine. And the only way that we bear fruit is that if we remain. So it'll work if you stay in it. But if you decide to step out, it doesn't work. Just try one day this week. Just to step out of the grace of God, see what happens. You don't understand how protected you are and how sufficient God's grace is for you now. You can't see everything that's going on in your life right now, but God's grace has you hemmed in. And if you're not walking where you should be walking, it's the very grace of God that's irritating you right now to get you in. Don't think he can't irritate. You matter. You know, there are some people when they walk into a room, you don't pay a lot of attention to those people because you're like, okay, I know who they are. But when Jesus walked into a room, when the presence of God settles into a room, Spirit of God's here. When Jesus wakes you up at 12 a.m. and says, we got to talk. I'm listening. When Jesus taps on you and says, hey, it's time to worship. It's time to talk about some things. I was just in Vegas. Guess what Jesus was doing? Showing me different things. You're never, Christian, you're never off. You're not, well, I'm taking the day off. No. You're from maybe working now. You're not off, though. You're not off. You learned a long time ago that 7 days a week, he can access you anytime. Some of the best work that me and Jesus have done have been like 4 o'clock in the morning. Just speaking to me about it. No, I see that. Mm-hmm. Laying awake at night, just downloading stuff. Yep. Because he has access. He can do it when he has access. But if you blocked up and you're conforming, it's hard for him to have to get in. He's trying to weave his hand in or weave his voice in, but you're so barricaded that it's very difficult. But if you're called to be free, stay free. You shouldn't leave a worship service feeling bound. It was a great day today. Man, but I am so bound up. If you're really in the presence of a Christian who's walking free, there should be something about that freedom that attracts you. And so I want what they have. You leave that person, something about that I want. Freedom's attractive. And I don't get it. I don't get the body sometimes. I just don't get it. Everyone's falling short. I get it. But we stay there. It was like we're still hanging on to like what he might give me the desires of my heart that I really want that you know that God doesn't want for you. Because this is what church is now today. Church is a drive-by. It's a station for everyone to hear what they want to hear. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you. Buy the Mercedes. He wants you with that person. God wants you rich. God wants you blessed. You're going to have a myriad of friends in your life. Why? Because God's a good God. You can abuse God's grace. Why? Because God will forgive you. You can try to be a man if you're a woman because, hey, God's creative. And the list goes on. And you make an allowance for sin. And anytime you make an allowance for sin, the Bible talks about even when he was talking to Cain in the Old Testament, sin is crouching at the door, just waiting for you to let it in. You start making allowances for it. Guess what? It breaks through. And now you're walking in compromise. I know I never felt that way before, but you know what? I've always felt like a woman. So you don't think it's real. Because we've been lulled to sleep, and the things that used to bother people don't bother them anymore. But if you're really walking with Jesus, it bothers you. There should be certain things that are irritating you right now. You should be bothered by the morality of this nation right now. You should be irritated by the compromise of some of your friends. And you should be irritated every time you hear someone else fell. That's just the way it is, right? No, you should be irritated. Because now what it does is, now it puts a black mark on Christianity that we have to try to overcome. Here's another Christian doing what they say they're not supposed to do. And all of a sudden, here it is. Why would I want to be like that? Why would I want to be like that when I'm called to be royalty? If you're the son and daughter of a king, guess what you are? You're royalty. You're righteous because of what Jesus has done. You're righteous. Why would I want to stain it up? It's quiet because you know. Why would I want to stain it up? Why would I want to color outside the lines when the picture looks great, when everything's inside the lines? You know how it is when you're a kid and you're growing up. Eventually, you're trying to get the kid to draw inside the line because the purpose of it, the bird is supposed to be yellow. Everything's supposed to be inside the little black marks. And, oh, man, that's really great. When they're young and they're all over the place, that's cute, right? But when they grow older, you expect alignment. You expect them to know better. do you know better? And I would say some of y'all know better. There are certain things the Lord has spoken to me about, and every once in a while I come in, you know better than that. You know, I know, Lord, but I know you know that I know. But what we do is that because sometimes life gets hard, we're not on our stance like we should be. We're not as sharp. But I'm telling you is that the Lord wants to bring back a sharpness to the body to where you're cutting, not in a bad way, but things are being cut away from the lives of people that don't need to be there. Because when you're around people, things should be breaking. Things should be breaking. Things should be coming undone. Sin should be exposed. You don't think that sin should be exposed. That's why it's hard for people even to come to church, because they don't like to be exposed, especially a smaller church, because you can't hide in the back. The Spirit of God takes you, all of a sudden, he's starting to deal with you. It's hard to get anywhere. Because all of a sudden you get a strong Christian who knows what's going on, and the strong Christian goes over to try to help you out, and it's hard. So you've got to be careful where you go. Why would God want you to settle for less? If you're a king's kid, why would he let you the rest of your life walk around like a pauper? Why would he do that? So settle for less because that's why I came. No, why, he wants to bless you. The Bible says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Notice what I said, spiritual blessing. But God also wants to give you blessing of living life in an overcoming life. God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but it doesn't come without some sort of requirement. Don't let anybody tell you that God just doles it out. It doesn't happen that way. Are you walking with Jesus? Is he first? Are you saying yes when you don't want to? Are you praising through hard times? Are you learning to defeat yourself, the enemy in you? Are you learning to say yes to Jesus and no to sin? And are you moving closer to Jesus? And as you're doing that, all of a sudden, God can meet you. He can meet you. He doesn't just cast his pearl before swine either. Why would he do that? I want God to give me everything. And I want God to speak to me about the deep things. But he doesn't have you. I want to be used of God. Lord, use me. I got a gift. But you're addicted. Sin still has you. You don't have it. And so this is what happens. We allow the gifted, because they're gifted, to fly below the radar. Man, we need someone. I need you. Are you gifted? You gifted. But you got no foundation. You can't stand in a fight. If I press you, you crumble. All the enemy has to do is just press on that wound from your childhood, and you can't stand. Everyone's gifted. Everyone, I got a gift. You're not anointed. I'm gifted. I can sing, but I don't see any power in your life. There's no power. I don't see the character. You can't show up on time. You know, those who love sports, and a lot of people in here do, they're a byproduct of the thousands of hours they spent in the gym. They spent working out when nobody was looking. Pain, suffering, putting themselves through hell so that they could perform on a high level and stay there. So I'm ready now. Have you spent time in the wilderness? Have you spent time with Jesus? Do you know how to defeat the enemy on his turf? I mean, I'm talking like countless hours. Have you learned to scrub the toilets of church? Are you faithful to your job? Are you faithful to your wife? All these things. I'm gifted. And the Christian world is like, we want to bypass it all. I'm gifted. I got to be used. Thousands of hours. The reason why we marvel at Steph Curry, thousands of hours. And still does it at a high level. We're talking about people in the world perfecting skills. God's still using them and their gifts. How much more the Christian? But we can't stand up under pressure. I can't deal with it anymore. You can't quit. marriages that last any length of time that are noteworthy, one thing in common, Jesus is at the center, and both the couple said, I'm not quitting. Because I know that when I come through this in the end, we're going to be better. 20 plus years later, getting better. Getting better. Not that the temptation is not there, but says, you know what? I've come through too much. We're going to ride this thing out and get all that God has for us. Why would I do that and compromise everything? Oh my God, why would I do that and compromise everything and say, well, he had a good run. He had a lot of potential. Why would I waste the thousands of hours behind the scenes and miss out on the goodness of life, the sustaining grace that God has? Why would I waste all those hours doing the work just for some small temptation to come in? Because guess what? Temptations come at every level. If I can't beat it here, why is God going to raise me up to the next level? Why would he do that? You know why? His heart. There's too many people that are already falling. Why would he put you in the spot so you could fall too? Here's another one. God does not get glory and say, oh, it's one of my kids. Michael, look, another one. Because he has to now go back and restore. Why not do the work, allow God to promote you when it's time so that you can stay in it and win? Win. It's not to say you won't lose at times, but win. Get back up and win. The one thing you remember about these guys who leave, I still remember my favorite, Michael Jordan, always been my favorite. Always. You may not like him, but always, just because of his work ethic and his tenacity. Everyone has that person. Man, I can't believe they did that. What did they have in common? They didn't quit. They put in the work. Christian, are you putting in the work to thrive? Or are you just mailing it in and saying, it'll happen when it happens? It doesn't happen like that. I want God to promote me. Are you working where you're at? I want God to bless me. Are you sweating where you're at? I want to be better. Are you learning some new concepts? Called to be free. But not to use your freedom as a license to sin. That's not why it's here. But so that you can overcome. Go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Be better than you were 5 years ago. Be better than you were 10 years ago. If you're not getting better, you're wasting time here. Wasting time. If there's not something that's propelling you to get better, get more Jesus, and do the things that God has asked you to do, just mail it in. You're wasting time. Get better. There's too much of the world to reach, and there's too much that God wants to do in the world through you for you just to stay there. Lord, for every person in this room, called by you, your sons, your daughters, you didn't die so they could just stay in their condition. But Lord, you've died so that they can endure, but also overcome. How many here right now are overcoming some stuff? You're overcoming it right now. Every person, hands up. Lord, every person in this room, but hands up, overcoming right now. Lord, strengthen them by the power of your spirit. Help them keep going. That there's more in their life. Better is going to come in their life just because they're saying yes. Thank you, God. Even in the hard times, they're saying yes. Even when they don't understand it, they're saying yes. Even when their mind says quit, they're saying no. I thank you, Lord, for helping them to develop a strength even in their own head. Thank you, Lord, for stepping up mental games in here. Yeah. Mental games in this room are being stepped up. Thank you right now. Stuff from their childhood is being torn down. Can't is being replaced with can. Because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. I thank you, Lord, that in this house, that these people will do the things you called them to do. They will not only endure it, but they will overcome it. I thank you that nations will be changed because of this room. as people go out and affect generations, that the freedom that you brought into their lives is going to stick. Going to stick. And that you're going to take them up from faith to faith and from glory to glory. There will be an outpouring of your Spirit in their lifetime because they said yes to you. I thank you, God, there. The Spirit of God is going to do and finish the work inside of them because that's why He's there. I thank you for leading them and guiding them into your perfect plan and your perfect purpose because we know that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.